with me. Now, it's 20 past 10 next year, which isn't too far away now, marks the 125th anniversary of an institution based here in Liverpool, but with a worldwide reputation. When the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine was founded by Sir Alfred Jones, 1898, first institution of its kind anywhere in the world, and for the past 125 years, it's been on the forefront of cutting-edge research and teaching in the field of tropical medicine. To mark this incredible anniversary, this is what we're going to be doing this. We've been talking to different people from LTSM. One of those today is Professor Nick Casewell, who we met before, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. If I said snakebite to you, you'd probably think about that mix that you used to get many, many years ago down the pub. That's actually, I think, been banned now. It's illegal. That's probably the first thing that you would think about. But for Professor Nick, it means something completely different. Good to see you again. It's been a while, isn't it?
It has, yeah. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. It's nice to have people back in the studio in person as well. Thanks for not bringing any little critters with you, by the way.
Not this time.
No, not this time.
Maybe next time, Tony.
No. We'll do it on a Friday. I work from home that day. you can do that with one of your colleagues. How long have you been at the school now?
So I came to LSTM in 2014. So getting started 2014, so getting towards 9 years.
Yeah. Snakes polarize people, really, don't they?
They really do. Yeah. I mean, we were just talking to your colleague on the way in and, I don't like snakes.
Yeah.
But we take quite a lot of people around our facility. We've got about 200 venomous snakes that we use for our research. And usually you always get a reaction out of people. Some people, you know, really don't, inherently, they do not like snakes. And actually, it's quite interesting because they're said to be the most fear-provoking animal. Whether you've seen a snake or interacted with one before doesn't necessarily matter. For some people, there is something innate about venomous snakes and snakes in general that really they really don't like.
Is that maybe partly because of the way they've been portrayed? They've had a bad press over thousands of years, really, haven't they?
They have. But, you know, snakes are really important animals throughout culture and religions. You know, they're kind of pervasive. And for some people, they strike fear. And in part, that probably is because of the impact snake bite has had for generations.
Yeah.
They are a threat to people, particularly in the tropics. We're okay here in the UK, but in the tropics, snake bite is a real problem. We see, you know, well over 100,000 deaths from snakes every single year across the world, maybe 500,000 people suffering, you know, surviving the bite, but suffering with long-term consequences. So snakes have been around for millennia, and they have been a threat to people or our ancestors for that period of time too.
You've spent a hell of a lot of time with these incredible creatures, and they are incredible. Do they have personalities?
Well, they have different temperaments for sure. So, you know, in our collection, we might have 10 snakes of the same species, and they have different behaviors. Some are really placid and docile. Some are more aggressive. Sometimes it just depends on the day and what you're doing with them. So they definitely have an element of different personalities to them. But I guess when we're working with these snakes, you can never kind of, you always have to be a bit on your guard because, you know, what you're working with is something potentially dangerous.
It's respect as well, isn't it, for these creatures?
It is. And actually, that's something that for me, I've kind of learned more and more. You know, many years ago, starting to work with snakes, you're a bit oblivious. You know, they're dangerous, but you're working with them. And then the more work you do, the more you understand the consequences. I think also the more cautious you can become because you kind of understand what can happen to you if you are bitten by these animals. And of course, for the people in the tropics who are really affected by them, they don't have that choice. You know, they're 24 hours a day at the risk of a snake bite, working, you know, in agricultural areas. That's where the snakes are. In their homes, snakes can even come into the house at night. So for many people in these parts of the world, you know, there is that looming threat of a snake bite throughout the day, whereas obviously for us here, we're a bit more fortunate.
Do they seek us out to do us harm, or is it a case, well, I'm working in an environment where I've just stood on one or I've disturbed one, or, you know, they don't wake up and go, I think I'm going to bite someone today, do they?
Exactly, yeah. The snakes aren't trying to attack us or eat us or kill us. It's all defensive. And a lot of it, the snakes that are a real problem to people are those that are comfortable living close to human environments. So, you know, they might be seeking food. So rats, for example, are after waste or in and around agricultural areas or villages in the tropics.
Right.
The snakes are coming in to hunt those animals, or maybe domestic animals, chicks and things that people have, you know, as part of their livestock. The snakes are attracted to those, and that brings them into that conflict with people. They're in the human environment, and that's where bites happen.
So when you get into a conversation and somebody says, hi, Nick, what do you do for a living? And then when you tell them, you know, what's the reaction like?
Well, it's always a good conversation starter, right? You know, it's your classic, you always have something to talk about. Yeah. And the response is, oh, you know, that's different.
Yeah.
And that is, I suppose, one of the unique elements of LSTM, in that we do work that others don't. So we are in our kind of snake bite center, we're unique in the UK for kind of the scale and the breadth of the research that we do around a tropical disease that affects a lot of people outside of the UK.
So. And this is all about saving lives, isn't it? This ultimately, the bottom line is, this is how we save people's lives.
Absolutely. So all of our research is geared to have an impact to those people who are affected by snake bites. So one example of that was a partnership with the Nigerian Federal Ministry of Health to develop new treatments for snake bite. They had a supply issue with their current treatments, and we in partnership with others were able to develop new antivenoms that have been delivered for over a decade now to Nigeria, and probably saved around 20,000 lives. So that's kind of the impact of the research that we're trying to do around snake bite.
Forgive me if I've got the terminology or the method wrong with this, but we've seen this on the telly, you know, we just presume this is the way it's done. Jam jar, paper over the jam jar, somebody holding the snake, the fangs go into the jam jar, into the paper or whatever it is, and that's how you get the venom. I've seen it on the telly. Is that the way you do it?
Yeah, very similar. Really? Okay. Very similar to that. Maybe not the jam jar. So we usually use like glass Petri dishes.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we'll cover them with a membrane, something to kind of simulate that sensation a snake would get through biting into something. Sometimes not if they're delicate, small snake. And then all you need to do is obviously safely restrain the snake and introduce its head towards this receptacle, and it will naturally bite.
It will just do it. So there's not a trigger that there's not like a little trigger inside the mouth.
No, as soon as they bite onto that, usually they'll release venom. But one of the interesting things is it is different every time we do this. You know, sometimes you get a lot of venom, sometimes you get a little bit of venom, sometimes you get no venom, depending on what's going on. And that's also true in a snake bite. So you can be bitten by the world's most dangerous snake, and if you're lucky, it doesn't inject any venom into you.
Oh, really? So is that kind of like, leave me alone, next time I'm going to give it to you?
Yeah, I mean, the snakes are using their venom. They've evolved their venom to catch prey. That's what they're using it for. They haven't got any limbs. They can't grab and bite onto things without using the venom to catch their prey. So they don't necessarily want to waste it defensively at protecting themselves,
because they could end up starving.
Absolutely. They want to use that energetic resource for catching the prey that they want to use.
So if the snake was after a vole, for example, as opposed to a rat, would the snake just give the right amount of venom to knock out the vole rather than a rat, which presumably would need a bit more?
Yeah, so we actually know very little about this kind of biology of snakes,
really?
But there are a couple of studies that have suggested exactly that. The bigger the prey item, the more venom the snake will use. And that obviously suggests an element of control about how these snakes use their venom to catch their prey. So it's quite an interesting subject that really hasn't been studied in any depth at all.
So let's get back to when people ask you what you do. I can pretty much guarantee the next question, they say, oh, have you been bitten?
That's the next one. And I'm always happy currently to be able to say, not by anything dangerous. So now I've been very fortunate. You know, obviously everything we do in the school is geared to look after the well-being of the snakes and the well-being of our staff. We have some brilliant staff who their job is ultimately to look after this collection, this facility. And they're the ones really doing the dangerous work, maintaining the snakes, but also holding them to do the venom extractions. And we have two, Paul and Ed, who have now this really fantastic long history of working with the snakes in our collection. So every now and again, you know, a more of an amateur like me, I have to go and help out and get exposed to those animals. But fortunately, I've never been bitten by one of them.
Yeah. And when we saw I'm a Celebrity last week, we saw, I think it was Matt Hancock, you know, inside this glass box, and this snake, I don't know what it was, a whitish one, if that helps to identify it, a whitish one, kind of went for him. And I'm thinking, well, this is meant to be entertainment here. And I get it that a snake lunging at somebody, the audience would go, oh, it's entertainment, isn't it? You know, that's what it is. But surely those snakes in that box, and again, forgive if I've got the terminology wrong, they've been devenomed, if you like.
Yeah, so I haven't seen the show for many years, but I know in the past the snakes all used to be non-venomous snakes,
right,
so mostly pythons. So there are a number of snakes that don't have any venom at all. There are some snakes that are technically venomous, but they're not dangerous to people. You know, and these are the kind of snakes you can go to your pet shop and buy.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's some dangerous snakes. And there's about 200 snake species that are really potentially dangerous to people. And of course, they're not the ones that are being used in this show. Any animal, if it feels threatened, will try and defend itself. And snakes are no different to that. So
A bit sorry for it, actually, to be honest, because there's an element, and I know they have disclaimers on these programs to say the well-being of all of the animals and creatures, you know, being well looked after by trained professionals, but there's still a part of me that thinks that's a bit cruel. I'm uncomfortable with that.
There has to be an element of stress to an animal in that environment,
yeah.
Just because they're put in an environment for a different purpose, and you've got people interacting with them in a different way than you know, a normal handler who's looking after the snake would interact with them. So I think whether it's a snake or another animal, there has to be an element of stress.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right with that. And the future as well, we talked about saving lives. When you take this venom, presumably you study it, make an anti-venom. Is that the way it works? Like we get a flu injection, we get injected with a little bit of flu.
Yeah.
You know, so our bodies go, I know what I'm dealing with now. I can fight you off a little bit. Is that basically the way it works?
So current anti-venoms are made in a very similar way to that, except animals are used instead of people. So tiny amounts of venom would be injected into an animal, and then that animal generates antibodies against it, just like we do when we're challenged with a vaccine.
Yes.
And we take those antibodies and we inject them. And we have to do that rather than use a vaccine, because snake bites, it's an emergency. So if you're bitten, you have a good chance of being very, very ill very, very quickly, potentially dying within a day. A vaccine, you have to use, your body has to recall antibodies. It has to generate antibodies over a period of time to fight off that infection. And it just doesn't happen quick enough for a snake bite. So we actively inject the antibodies. And there are lots of issues with these treatments that we're trying to improve. One of the big things that we have a problem with at the moment is you have to give those antivenoms in hospital. You have to directly inject them into a vein, but also because you're giving people these antibodies from animals, not from people, you can react to them. So you have to manage that in a hospital. And that's a real problem in the tropics, where most people are bitten by snakes because people can't get to hospitals easily, or they don't have good hospitals around them. So at the moment, a lot of our research is geared towards basically first aid treatments, oral medications that we hope people will be able to take after they're bitten by a snake very quickly. And that'll stop the onset of these venoms long before they might get treatment currently.
So just to finish with, at the school, I know you've been there for what, getting on for 10 years now. What changes have you seen, you know, from when you first started to where you are now? You know, the development and the lives that have been saved because of what you do.
Yeah, I've seen a huge amount of growth. I mean, I came to work at LSTM in 2014, but I actually studied there in 2005. So I've seen a huge expansion actually in the school, in terms of, you know, physically the buildings, the structure, the amount of people working there. And I suppose that's reflected also in terms of the impact of the work that LSTM has done. And it's all geared towards having that real change or influence or benefit to people in predominantly in the tropics and subtropics over the past 10, 15 years. And as that growth has happened, the impact has increased with that too. So it's a very satisfying place to work, because you know, you get that kind of strong justification about the, you know, the real lives that are being influenced by the work that we and our, you know, all of our colleagues at the school do.
Fascinating. I can tell you love what you do as well. And we were giggling with one of your colleagues yesterday, and we mentioned it briefly before you came on air, that, you know, at the school you've got midwifery department, then I think you've got finance department, then the snake department, right? Kind of all next to each other. That's the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the way it is.
Absolutely. Just don't open the wrong door.
Don't open the wrong door. 125 years coming up, an anniversary. Things planned at the school for public to get involved in?
Yeah, absolutely. So over the next 12 months, there's going to be a variety of different activities to try and engage with everyone in the city. And obviously to promote what LSDM has and is doing, but also to give people a variety of different opportunities to actually participate as well and get exposed to those kind of life-changing stories that the school's delivered over many years.
Right. Well, we'll look forward to it. I must come and see you next time because you've been good enough to come and see us for the last couple of times.
You'd be very welcome.
I would find it fascinating. I think I'd really enjoy that. Nick, good to see you. Give our best to everybody at the school as well. There's Professor Nick Casewell, who is Head of Centre for Snakebite Research and Interventions. And more from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine throughout the programmes between now and the end of the week.